after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it.
Yeah, shout out to Sanjay. Dog, we gonna make a way. Now sit back and listen to these bars I'm about to say. Hit the button, young, and get loose on that beat. We get it in the booth like we get it in the street. Yup, good night, end of my flight. Good morning, good evening. Best believe I tell you a story. You better believe it. If the world was in our palms, we break it in pieces. We a different kind of animal, take it or leave it. Hot, frozen, cold-blooded, we belong in a freezer. We hotter than the Bahamas on the beach with a heater. Yeah, call me Mr. Popular, can't see me with binoculars. Shout out to the haters and everybody who knocking us. Steady J got interviews, intermission and interludes. The baddest model chicks and the real rap spitting dudes. R&B and gospel and all of the above. And it's all on one show and it fits like a glove on the
life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it.
Steady J was good, my dude. You keep doing what you're doing, fam. Keep showing love to all us unsigned artists, man. Good things gonna come back to you, homie. I salute you, B. Life after dust. Y'all now tuned in. Holla.
What's up, everyone? What's up? What's up? Welcome to Life After Dust Live with your boy, Seti J. And today is Hot After Dust Monday. Every Monday, we bring you Hot After Dust. Every Wednesday, we bring you what we call Hump Day After Dusk. So, yes, I'm glad to have you guys here. If you're going to get another Monday, another week here in the show. And Nate will be on the show later on. So, yes, don't worry. Nate will be here. She has some business she was attending to on this weekend, where she'll be sharing a little bit about that when she gets on later. And yeah, man, you got a lot to catch up with her about. As far as another big thing going on today's show, we got very special guests that be up chiming in, and we'll be interviewing him today. My boy Victory of Catastrophe will be on the show today as we talk about his single, "Anybody." Not only is it a good song from a audio standpoint. You also, if you haven't already, let's go search it on YouTube and see about the visual side of it. It's a really good visual made based off the song and, you know, kind of playing off stuff from today. So we'll be, you know, going a little bit about that on the show with him later. I'm also talking to him about how he got started and, yeah, a lot, man. He's right here from Fort Worth. Where I'm not born, I wasn't born, but I was definitely raised here. So big ups to that. You know, you guys, I was at the beginning of the show to catch you up on stuff. But we got crazy stuff going on. First off, good morning, freaking America. And man, I thought good morning, America, man. Y'all were, you know, it was a family. You know, because I always hear this stuff like when I'm listening to ESPN shows about them saying, oh, we got to watch out because the rat, you know, or the mouse, whatever he is, Mickey Mouse. Basically, that's like a joke personifying down the Disney company, you know, which is over ABC and ESPN. And talking about, you know, how you got to kind of be careful when you're on those networks. But ABC, they're one of the shows on the ABC itself, it was on freaking Black China was on Good Morning America, your morning staple show. I get it. It's a big topic going on right now. It ruined a topic that was going to last maybe another week, and that was over. So really, we didn't need to go through all this. Really, they made the topic go longer. It was pretty much done with it until they decided to drag it out some more. But, yeah, man, it's just crazy. Good Morning America, man. But I was just talking with my brother before the show, and it's interesting. He was saying that, one of the reasons why Good Morning America, I was in an interview because people are captivated by how our Kardashian got Kardashianed. And people are still trying to wrap their fingers around, like, wow, she really got it. And now she's suing him. Oh, man, this guy here, he's taking all kind of L's, left to right, left to right, left to right. So, man, Rob K, man, you're going to do a lot of stuff, my brother. You're going to do a lot of stuff. But we dwell on a lot of that last week, so I'm not going to get back into that at the moment. But some other stuff went down. I did DJ a little bit this weekend. It was kind of fun, invigorating, get into all that. One thing I talk about, y'all hear me, and I do like my pet peeves and whatnot during our weekly segment, which we do today. Our weekly segment on every Monday that we have that we call The List, where it's a list of 16 based off a certain topic. And so, yeah, y'all know I was talking about the club's atmosphere and whatnot. And I was saying, man, consistently, y'all would know how to talk about consistency. I like consistency when it comes to places. And I just say that Guilford's over at Park Avenue, consistency over and over again. The music choice is like very, very, it's variation, take you back, bring you the current time enough. It mixes up stuff enough to where you're like, okay, I can rock with this, enough of a mixture. And the atmosphere is conducive to people having a good time, not being like it's a Sadie Hawkins dance. People really having a good time. And I see more people actually engaging in conversation. Like, it's interesting, guys approaching women, vice versa. And, you know, it's crazy. Like, once you step out of there, the communication isn't that heavy. But it's like, it's cool because people on their phones a little bit like me, I was like on Facebook Live for a little bit, but most of the time, pretty much after that, for that one little bit I was on, I was worried about I was just so enamored having a good time. And that was an interesting dynamic. That's what everyone else pretty much doing. Which, that's a, like, I think, like, if you could copy and paste, not necessarily saying the club, but you can copy and paste that thought process of enjoying the moment and communication skills, if we can copy and paste that into every segment of this current time, it would be so much better, because guys and girls are so afraid to talk to each other, man. So afraid to talk to each other these days. People are just, you know, and I understand people when it comes to their heart and whatnot, how you feel. But sometimes, man, sometimes y'all get out of hand about how it's like, F the next person. Y'all got to stop being scared and talk to people. And realize this, when you're in the club, everybody's not trying to take you home. Some people just having a good time. And establish that as well. Like, yeah, I know that you give people an inch to take a mile. I know that phrase, but, hey, it's not always the case. Some people are there to genuinely have a good time and not trying to hound you or whatnot. So, yeah, take your chance and stop being such a stick in the mud. So, yeah. So, yeah, that's my little rant, my early rant for today's show. We will be going ahead. We're going to go ahead and go into our music break here in a moment. Before that, again, remind you, if you want to, we will be allowing people to get on the phone lines later on, possibly doing an interview. We'll see. You'll be able to call in, so 347-202-0393. 347-202-0389. That's 347-202-0389. And y'all know, and people that are regulars on the show, y'all know I hardly touched that the switchboard. So when I open the switchboard, it's like heaven on earth to people. They're like, oh, he's opening it. It's like, it's the allure of people not knowing when I'm going to start taking calls. That's what enamors people about it. So, yeah. God, you gotta do a tease and tease people. Like, some people, they act reckless on these, and they call into some of these radio shows because you loggers, yeah, you just have a bunch of people just gas bagging all day. And not saying people don't deserve to share their opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes, you know, some calls are so heavily call based to where it does a couple of things. It takes away the quality of the show because you don't have if your calls are too all over the place. But also as a host, it makes you lazy and not really provide content and really do a lot of planning with the show. That's why to be frank, I don't really like taking calls as much because I want to be able to connect to that person and allow people to listen and enjoy. So that is my mindset on that. But anyways, it's about that time. We'll go ahead and go into a music break. I'm going to play the single that we're going to be talking about during the interview. That's also about the visual as well. This is Anybody by Victory or Catastrophe. I can't wait to chop it up with him and dig into his brain. So, man, y'all stay tuned right here. Don't go nowhere. You know, you can turn the music up. So while you go running, go get you something to drink or whatever, that's cool. But other than that, don't go nowhere. All right, y'all, we'll be back here on Life That Does Live. Your boy, Sonny J. This is Anybody by Victory.
I'm not just anybody. I'm not just anybody. Don't talk to me like I'm anybody. This ain't about a check. I demand the respect before I put you in check. If you can't respect that, then it's on to the next. On to the next, yeah, I'm on to the next. I ain't gotta flex, nah, I ain't gotta flex. When we have a conversation, don't be jerking your neck. Don't be rolling your eyes, I'm a man, I got pride. For the sake of what we got, push yours to the side. Say you gon' ride and you want me for life. I'd rather have a best friend than a nagging ass wife. Enough with the strife, enough with the grief. You can't say don't cheat, but provide no relief. Wanna take a stand when you need to take a seat. When it's your turn to listen, you don't even need to speak. Everybody wanna talk, but nobody wanna listen. I can't get my point across if you don't really pay attention.
I'm not just anybody.
I'm not just anybody.
Don't talk to me like I'm anybody.
Want me as good as we look, say la vie. Baby girl, you the Yang to me, Ying with the building empire. I'm the king, you the queen. It's like Guns and Roses, Prince and Foxes. Me and you together like Sephora and Moses. The people love me, see I pack my shoulders. Haters get back, it's a fact, chosen. I'm really God's people, see I black my noses. 2 years ago, people didn't even know us. Was a diamond in the rough, now my touch is golden. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, no sir. I'ma post up on whoever approach us. Drop step, slam dunk, he's on the post. me, baby, just like I told you.
I'm not just anybody.
Yeah.
I'm not just anybody. Don't talk to me like I'm anybody. Like you do everybody. Don't treat me like you do everybody. 'Cause I'm not just anybody. 'Cause I'm not just anybody.
All right, that was Anybody by Victory, Catastrophe, the Building. Man, telling y'all again, check out the visual. You like the song? The song is great, but you have to look at the visual, too. Sometimes, that's why I like when people have visuals or videos, you know, they're like, you know, they're being uppity. I like people have good visuals, man. Good visuals. It, to me, it helps put that song over the top even more if you have a good visual to go with it. So yes, it's a good visual. You're not like, oh, it's just like every other video. You know, it's actually thought provoking, all the good stuff. So trust me, I'm not just saying it because I'm a guest on the show. I'm telling you exactly how I feel. Y'all know how I do it on the show. I don't sugarcoat nothing. I don't like fake for nobody. If I like the stuff, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell y'all, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I like the song. You know, I don't do that. Like, no one's pulling my string to tell me that. So, yeah, that's what the deal is. All right, so I see we got our guest on the air right now. Oh, welcome to the show.
What's up? What's
the
up?
The world-renowned Victory. What's good, sir?
What's going on, man?
Thank you so much, man. I'm glad to have you on the show. You get a round of applause.
Get the round
you
of
you
applause.
Some applause. All that. Give you some applause.
Man, I like
you
that.
Throw some popcorn your way. You want some popcorn? We got you.
Yeah, what are rose petals, man? I need rose petals.
I need rose petals. See, what had happened was,
yeah,
I just like, it's rose petals, right? And they brought me the ones that was like Wilton. And now they like, you know, anybody trying to walk into Wilton rose petals. So, yeah.
I'm trying to come through like what is his name? King Jaffet. King Jaffet the Third. Yeah,
I'm very happy
man.
To be here.
Yeah, man, all that. What's up though, man? Appreciate y'all having me on.
Man. Yeah, man, it's good to have you, man. You know, I've been watching you for a while. I'll watch you do I my first chance of getting to actually it's crazy. The chance getting me was like a couple of years ago at one of the Vertigo conferences, the one that was at the Music Factory. And that's why I saw you before. I actually got to see you perform. So that was my first time actually seeing you in person.
You say at the Vertigo?
Yes. It was the one that was at the Music Factory a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was the first time? Okay, that's the dudes behind it, okay.
Yeah, man, I like Big Daddy. It's funny, I was just talking about Big Daddy about 30 minutes ago, man.
Yeah, I've connected with some great people, and, like, you know, that's how I got a chance to, you know, really connect with you the first time. That's how we end up getting all of a sudden your music. We actually, I'm trying to see, what did I get at that time? Remember I got all the different versions of Polo. Remember
Polo, man.
So,
we had about three or four different versions at that time.
Yes, it was like Rock, my dad jokingly tells me, like, Roxanne, they had like, so he was telling me they had like a bunch of versions of that song. That's how I felt like we got the chicken noodle soup version. You know.
You say DJ Rocksteady?
Oh no, my dad was talking about it. It was a song that Roxanne. It was They had, you said they used to have like a bunch of versions.
Okay.
Yeah, a bunch of different versions of it. You know, on the radio when he was younger. I was like, oh, Lord.
Yeah. That reminded him of that. Okay.
Yeah, so it was crazy.
I had a bad connection, but I heard what you're saying now. Well, yeah.
Yes, do you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. We did the polo. Then we did the remix. Then we had an EDM version. Excuse me, we had an EDM version. And I think those were the three we did. So yeah, man, we had a lot going on at that time, man.
I remember I brought up a long time ago. I was jokingly telling y'all should make one for it, because this is for people that's not from Fort Worth. Y'all might not know about this. You're like, what restaurant? Good Luck. Make like one for Good Luck called Bolo. Yeah.
No, I don't know about that, man.
Yeah, like all of a sudden, like, y'all in the commercial, y'all on a barbecue commercial, Bolo.
Yeah, man. That
yeah. I just helped you. You like, let me go right there, get that check real quick.
Yeah, man. You should have helped us put it together, man.
Hey, I'm still down.
We could have made some money.
I am still down.
Hey, man, come on, man. There's checks out there to be made. Why you playing with
checks, man? Get something that's free barbecue in them checks. Because you got the free barbecue, too. You can't just get the checks, you know. I ain't going to say too much. Somebody out there going, oh, I'm going to steal that idea and go approach them with it. Y'all ain't got my mind, though. Y'all can hear the idea, but you ain't got my mind.
That's a fact. They can steal your ideas.
I'm going to jump to a time machine on you, man. So how did you actually get, for those who are being introduced to you for the first time, how did you actually get into doing music? You know, when did you say, man, this is something I actually want to take serious?
Ah, man, you know, to be honest, man, I knew I was going to do music when I was 5 years old. But, you know, things like life hit me. I started having kids when I was about 19. And, you know, I wasn't really just feeling the way my music was sounding at the time. I didn't want to, you know, music, hip-hop is like, yeah, I'll listen to hip-hop, so you know that it's about, like, the topics of all about the hoes and the money and the cars and the clothes. Like, my music was on that note to a certain extent, so I was like, this is cool, but, like, I want something that's going to get into people's souls, so... You know, I had to live a little bit, man. You know, I had to experience life. I had to go see the world. I had my kids, and you know, I had a serious relationship. I had to go through some stuff, man. I had to have a little hardship outside in my adulthood. You know what I'm saying? You know. As far as what got me started, man, I've been doing music. I've been writing music since I was 9 years old. But I knew that I was going to make this a career when I was about five. So it never really left me. It just kind of, you know, it took time, you know. Great things take time. Great things come to those who wait. So that's what I did, you know what I'm saying?
So going from that point, so jumping out of your standpoint, go to the other side, what was that moment where you realized, like, the people were liking the music? Like, when was that, what was that turning point? Where were you at that time where you're like, all right, yeah, we got the people, we on to something now?
You know what's funny? I had a dream about Polo, and that was actually the first song that I actually took serious and was like, okay, well, we could do this, we could do that. But we were doing, you know, we were performing in Fort Worth and Dallas and Arlington clubs for, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years prior to that song. And, you know, we were getting attention, we were getting love, but it wasn't like we were getting paid shows.
It wasn't like we were just, you know, anything was majorly popping off. But then when I wrote that song and recorded it and we shot that video, I promise you within maybe 4 months' time, our whole entire lives changed. So I could say that that song changed my life and gave me so much confidence in what I do. And it made me realize, okay, well, yep, you were meant to do this. You can do this. Not so much so that you were meant to do this, but you can do this, you know, because a lot of people feel like they were meant to do it, but they don't necessarily believe that they can do it.
Exactly.
Because the brain only believes what it sees, you know. So at that point, I started seeing people sharing my video on Facebook, and I saw my YouTube views go up organically. And, you know, I started getting calls that I wasn't getting before. So, you know, I hope that answers your question, but that's kind of how it happened for me.
I'm going to be petty real quick. Can you explain to those out there what it means for your views to go up organically? Because some people, I don't think they get that concept.
Well, organic is as natural as you can get. When I speak of my views went up organically, I meant that I didn't have to put any marketing dollars or practically any marketing effort behind it. I just basically released it. I put it up on YouTube, and we made a couple of Facebook videos, and it went from there. Like, we didn't do much other than that, to be honest. And
to get that, you know, some artists, they don't realize that, yeah, that can still happen, where those numbers of people actually listening on their own, even before you add marketing behind it. Yeah, I just want people to get that, because I don't think they got in order to get on is some kind of magic trick.
Yeah, you know what's funny? The only magic trick it is to just be naturally you. You know, nothing can naturally grow if you're not naturally you. That's the way I feel about it. Some people may live lives outside of what they speak in their music, and, you know, that has nothing to do with me. But as far as I'm concerned, as long as you're as natural and as real as you can be, the universe is going to open up to that. And that's kind of how it happened for us, because we were natural, we were original, we are original. And the things that the visual of Polo, 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 no one had ever seen anything like that at that time. So, you know, and then at the same time, it was that song was released right around the same time as the Migos Versace song. So we kind of got related to that a little bit, because we were talking about Polo and they were talking about Versace. So, you know, it was a lot to go along with that, but it was timing, it was originality, it was natural, man. That's what organic is, just being natural, being true to yourself. And that's kind of how it happened for us.
And that's which leads to a perfect segue. You talking like when people see your style, like you kind of keep your style, like y'all have a unique style. Y'all not trying to be anybody else with your style. You know, how long did it take you to develop that natural style? Not saying that someone came and magic told you what to wear, but how long did it take you to realize, okay, this is the kind of style I want to go with?
Yeah, style for us, man, we always been stylish. A lot of people don't know it, but I won high school best dress. So, like, style has been everything to both of us since we were young. I remember a lot of people don't. If you're from Fort Worth, you might know Montgomery Ward. But I remember going to Montgomery Wars with my grandma.
Before it turns to Plaza is now.
Yeah, man, you know, Montgomery Wars and Hypermart. Like, I used to go to Hypermart with my granny every Saturday.
Oh, so, man. Now you're taking it back on us now. Not Hypermart.
Y'all don't know nothing about no Hypermart. Y'all ain't
down
from
the street
from the
stadium.
Yeah, y'all ain't from the funk, so y'all wouldn't know nothing about that. But, you know, I used to spend a lot of time. I was raised by my grandparents, so I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, and you know, she put me on the fashion thing. She was the lady in the front row at the church with the big hat, you know, and the little veil piece in front of her face. So, you know, she was the one that the pastor was looking at, trying to get her booty after the sermon, you know.
But, I want to lay some hands on your sister.
Yeah, you know.
Let me stop. If you're going to try to get me to do my Reverend Feels So Good character later, I'm like, no.
Say, man, I got a Reverend Johnson character, man.
See, that would be a crazy all shit. Because
Reverend Feels So Good
got crazy. His hair always out of whack. He ain't never combed all the way.
Say, man, yeah. Reverend Johnson is a real pervert, you know. But he's funny, though, you know what I'm saying? But that's, you know, that's kind of how it was. I learned the game from my grandmother, so, and the same for Speed. Mr. Arrogant, he learned from his mother, which is she was a fashionista at her time, a real beautiful woman. Even to this day, she's still, you know, very color coordinated and, just into her appearance. Like, she cares how she looks and is very detailed oriented. So, you know, we kind of grew up around that, and that's how we live to this day. So, style for us wasn't something that we just made up. It really is who we are as adults. And, you know, so most people are just now getting to see that. We don't have.
Yeah, because it's always like a journey. Y'all
like,
man, what they going to pull off next? Like,
it's like reading
another issue of a comic book. Like, man, what they going to pull out next? Man, dang, they pulled that out on us. You know, we never know what's coming next.
And we gonna keep it like that. You know, we don't have any stylists. We style ourselves. That's just the way it is. You know, we have our own fashion line, Real Swag. You can get on realswag.com, swag with two G's. realswagg.com. That's us, man. You know.
Hold on. I got to do my public service announcement. People, that's what we call a smooth public service announcement. A.K.A. shameless plug.
Man, I'm going to throw that plug in there whenever I can, man.
Hey, that's what to do. Some people go here and, I don't know what to tell them. Y'all better... If it's me, I'm telling all my brands. Y'all better get out of here.
Man, I got 1,000 brands. All you got to do is pick up one. I'm going to send it to you, you know. That's just how it is, man.
All right, so I want to jump. So now I'm going to jump back into the time machine. We're going to come to our current time to this single you have out, man, Anybody. First, we'll talk about the song. Let's just start with the song itself. Like, it could, before I even saw the visual, like, the song was already a defining version of me. Like, I'm being corny when I'm, like, quoting lyrics, but it's the truth. Like, I'm not just anybody. Like, to me, that label, to me, means, like, when people see me, you know, like, for instance, if a girl tries to say, oh, you just like everybody else. No. No, ma'am.
Yeah.
I'm not just anybody. Don't do that to me.
Get it right.
Like,
get it right.
There's only one Steady J, and there's only one type of. No, I ain't trying to be nobody else out here. So let's get that straight. That's what that says to me. So, as far as for you, drawing from making that song, like, where were you at? What was your mind at the time? And kind of tell us the deep meaning of it.
Man, you know what's funny? I was in a relationship with the mother of my children since I was she gonna kill me if I don't get this right. Six 16. And I wrote that song one day because she was talking to me crazy. True story. She was talking to me crazy. We had an argument. And I was like, hold on now. Like, you talking to me like I'm just anybody. Like I ain't just paid the bill. Like, like I ain't taking the kids to school. Like, I'm just, you know, like, just any other dad out there. Like, I'm not here with you every day taking care of business that all of the women in the world complain about. You talking to me like I'm just anybody. This is a problem. And, you know, instead of arguing about it and putting up a big fuss about it in front of her, like to her, at that current moment, I just processed it in my brain. I'm like, okay. I took it for what it was. I was like, damn, well, you know, that's how you feel. I respect that to a certain extent, even though I don't understand it. I hear what you're saying, but you out of line because you're talking to me like I'm just anybody. And then probably 2 days later, I went to the studio, and my in-house producer at that time, he played me that beat. And, you know, it really literally just poured out of me. And that's what it was. Like, I'm not just anybody, you know. And it just kept going from there. Man, I literally wrote that song, that entire song, in about 30 minutes because it was so fresh and it was so real. It was so current at that time. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like anyone could relate to that. Even though exactly. It was something personally that I was going through, if you listen to that first, even the second verse, both of those verses, I'm talking to her. You know, even though in the video, the visual kind of doesn't go through that in complete detail, you see, like, the beginning of the video, you have us arguing over the bills. And to a certain extent, that actually happened in real life. Even though the guy in that specific part was the other guy in the group, which is Mr. Arrogant. You know, I always try to find plugs, even though that was a solo song. Like, okay, well, this is a solo song, but, you know, you catastrophe. We still doing the catastrophe thing, so why don't you just act that part out? So he did it, and, man, I'm surprised, you know. I'm really mad that he didn't get an Oscar on it. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, that was – that man, like, that was – like you see that show Tales, I watched Tales. It's ironic. I watched Tales after I watched that visual. I was like, dang it! Like this was like a short Tales, like a long version of that video.
Yeah, man. So you know, I put that visual together. Shout out to Itchy House in New Jersey, man. They came through for me and really brought that visual
to
life.
New Jersey originally. Shout out to New Jersey.
Man, shout out to them for real. You know what's funny? We had to get a pass from the OG because we was in the projects in that video. Man, charge it to my mind, not my heart, his name, but good dude, man. I really don't even remember the project's name, which is probably bad on me, but we shot this 2 years ago. But they showed us, man, they showed us so much love. Just the community came out. Like, everybody in that project building came out. All of the little kids came out. We wasn't able to get everyone in it. You know what? We were. At the end of the video, you'll see, I'm not just anybody. I'm not just anybody. That was all of the people in that community that wanted to be in the video. Of course, there were more people in the background, but it was just, man, that was a great experience for me. But as far as how I came up with that song, man, that was a real life situation. I was in a relationship with the mother of my three children, and one day we had an argument, and she was talking to me just all kind of crazy. I guess she was going through whatever she was going through, and I was like, hold up, you know. Went to the studio, and the song came about, man. It's a beautiful, beautiful blessing. What they call it, the gift and the curse. That's kind of how that happened.
So that leads me to talk about another part of visual, and I'm I'm gonna connect it to current day, especially today after finding out that, you know, a certain person, I've got all, you know, he decided to have a separation clause with a certain police force. I'm not gonna say names, but to say that the officer, Slade, Philandro Castile. We're gonna keep it like that. Y'all go do the go do some more research and see that, and go and get as pissed off as I was. I literally saw that before the show, ironically, so it drove me nuts. In the video, you're running. Well, Mr. Arrogant's running, but the character in the video is running, and he gets his mistaken identity, which, as a black man myself, is especially me being tall and black, I'm always going to be considered a threat, and I'm always going to be considered the suspect, or, you know, oh, yeah, he looks like he's trouble, something of that sort.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, that connected with me, because that's happened so many times where I was dressed up, I was casket sharp, and the officer was acting real, like, out of sorts, like, keep it moving now. Like, dude, relax. I'm not going to beat you up just because I'm walking by. Like, I'm not trouble.
Yeah. You know what's funny, man? Sometimes, so even to this day, like, sometimes we'll go out and we try to go to these nice events and, you know, we don't always want to go to the ratchet clubs where we got to fend for our life and, you know, not sure if we're going to come out without a gun wound or, you know, even come out alive. But, you know, so sometimes even to this day, we'll go to certain areas. I mean, we travel, you know. It's not new news that catastrophe travels all across the country, all across the world. But sometimes we'll go to countries where people don't know us or places where people don't know us, and we get turned away. Like, and as we spoke on earlier, our fashion, like, we're not coming to no upscale place in no T-shirt and a ball cap. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't necessarily even wear that on a regular day. Not saying that we don't. Sometimes we do. But, you know, on a day-to-day basis, you know, we're going to be dressed to par, even above par, especially what is quote unquote considered as a black man. But sometimes we'll go to these places, events, clubs, and people will turn us away, and it's always, you know, it'll be the white clubs or whatnot, but they'll turn us away, like, hey, your pants are too baggy, or hey, you have on too much red. Like, bro, I just have on a red tie and some red shoes. Like, these are, you know, slacks I got from Dillard's. These are Polo. These are Brooks Brothers. A lot of people don't know what Brooks Brothers are. Like, and I'm not a name, you know, a label whore, but I'm just saying you can't even buy those big. They don't even come like that. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely can identify with that, man. And it's really unfortunate that as a black man, we can't come as we please, wherever. You know, it's really unfortunate. It's sad, actually.
Yeah, two things on that, man. Like, first off, I know about Brooks Brothers. I remember one episode of Jamie Foxx show where Braxton was talking about how he wear Brooks Brothers. So, look at that bell. You see that connection coming? You see that? So, I know what Brooks Brothers are.
Look, man, that's another problem that the youth don't have. Jamie Foxx on TV to look up to. They don't have a Will Smith. They don't have a Cosby. You know, they don't have what's the George Jefferson? You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, they got to look up to Peter Guns.
Look, you see what I'm saying? So, you know, that's a whole other
topic.
No, we could go on for hours on that, man.
And I'm not going to say it as far as you talking about the dress code thing. I already know, man. I got turned away. I had on a freaking dressy turtleneck. I had on some black slacks, and I happened to have on some black polo boots. And they told me, oh, we don't let people in polo boots. In other words,
yeah,
black
right.
people usually wear
yeah.
polo boots. I'm not going to let them in. I ain't going to say no names. But,
yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, on the cool, though, but what you really need to do is say that out loud so your listeners will understand, like, you have the power to stop that. And not necessarily.
Oh, you
stop
you mean
from,
say Varsity Tavern out loud? Oh,
I
had a quick cold there for a second. I was trying to say it, but I had like a quick cold. I had to clear up real quick. No.
Okay, so
that whole 7th Street. That whole 7th Street area. Period. Like,
check this out.
It's like
why are you talking about? Why are you talking about that? What's the one right across the street from it? Landmark. That's the club that told us.
Coyote.
What's red.
Foundry was the first one did the polo boosting to my homeboy before, and then that just started becoming a thing all around.
Yeah. If niggas come in on polo boots, that you can use as an excuse.
Yeah, that's the one. Landmark is the one that told us we had on too much red. And you know what's funny? What's real funny about that is I lived right on that corner, bro. Like, I lived in the White Buffalo apartments. I had the apartment right at the top on the fourth floor. Like, I could look outside of my balcony and see Landmark and Varsity. So I used to go there, you know, maybe once a week and, just go have an occasional casual drink. And one time I decided to go with, you know, Mr. Arrogant, make it a catastrophe thing. I wanted to show them how good of a time it was. Like, hey, man, you know, I come here on Mondays and Tuesdays, and it be jumping, blah, blah, blah. So we went on a Friday,
mm-hmm.
or we attempted to go on a Friday, and the same exact dude. And you know what his skin looked like? His skin looked just like me and you. What Jay-Z said, the same hue as you. He was the same hue as you.
Come on.
And he turned me
away.
The same dude.
I'm OJ. I'm not black. I'm OJ.
Yeah,
okay,
man. The same exact dude that shake my hand and smile in my face and know me by my first name told me that we had on too much red. I'm like, oh, man. You know, so what else am I to do to say, okay, you are Uncle Tom? But
oh no, you ain't. You on point, man.
You know, but hey, but I'm with you on that, man. You know, like I'm real on that empowerment stuff, man. Like we gotta empower each other. We gotta keep it real with the listeners. We gotta keep it real with everyone on every situation. You know what I'm saying? And West 7th is you know they known for being racist towards us. Or discriminate. They don't call it racism anymore. They call it discrimination, or you know, whatever you want to call it. It's racism. It stems from racism. They're afraid of
us. I would say this it's interesting. So they want our music, but they don't want us in there. And like they want just enough black people so that we can go, oh look, there's a couple of my nigger friends, you know, but then not too many where. It starts to where it's not, we're no longer the 13th percentile inside the club. Like, wait a minute, it's not 13%. You start seeing 13%, that's when they start freaking out. They're like, oh, hold on.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, they claim segregation is good, but when we actually segregate, you know, they discriminate, you know, so. I mean, it's hard for a black man to just to be honest, you know. Like we just trying
you know,
to live.
Someone
man,
said
like
it
you
to
said.
Me before, bro. And it's a really controversial take, but I thought it made me think real hard. Black would never segregation. It forced black people to actually shop with each other. It forced us to love each other. It forced us to do all that stuff. Now that we're not, now that we're quote unquote desegregated, now we don't want to, you know, now it's always, oh, black people don't know how to do good business. They weren't using that excuse before. They weren't using that excuse back then.
Yeah. It's always going to be a problem, you know. It's, man, look. How much time you got?
Oh, shoot. You know, you just got to have, I added like about 30 more minutes, and my co-host going to be jumping on here, too, in a second. So,
man, this,
yeah, I added more time. He, you know, hey. That's why I was like,
this is right up.
I was like, you know, I was going to have him for a certain time, but people know how to do. If a guest is that good, I don't say nothing. I just let it keep going.
This is right up my alley, man. I'm on some, you know, it's funny because I told you earlier I had a dream about polo. But as I live and as I experience, I understand that that was just to get the people's attention. You know, as I make more music and I experience and I go through the industry and I maneuver my way, work my way through it. Like, I'm so far beyond any brand other than mine. That is, you know, or someone that I'm affiliated with, you know what I'm saying, a.k.a. Someone the same hue as me, if you get what that's, what I'm saying.
I'm with you.
I'm all about that empowerment, man. Like, we got to lift each other up. It's time for us to stop playing, you know, stop acting like you know, I'm better than you, you better than me, or I got it going on because I did it first, or I'm on the radio, or I'm on TV. Like, man, none of that matters, man, because you could be X'd out, you know, in a matter of seconds. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of people out here who feel like they're above certain things, or they're the privileged few. And in reality, man, you know, I've spent the last 2-3 years touring the country. And to be honest, I can't tell the difference from Chicago music to Atlanta to Fort Worth because all of the artists sound the same. So realistically, you know, none of them are special. And coming from an artist,
you say I've been saying for the longest.
You know, coming from an artist, that may sound like I'm hating. But I don't have that in my DNA. Like, I have nothing to be jealous of the next man about because I'm worried about what I'm doing. I'm not worried about what they're doing. But if I say, okay, well, he's not special, or okay, he had good rhymes, or that was a good song, you know, but I'm not impressed, that doesn't mean that I'm hating. That just means that, I mean, come on, I've literally toured the country for 2 years straight. I've seen everyone from a top 40 level to a, you know, a underground bigger ranking level. You know what I'm saying? Like, and even lower than bigger ranking. Like, not that bigger ranking is low, because he is, you know, he's a big deal in some cities. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't seen very much to praise about. So, I don't know, man. What was we talking about? I could get going on.
No, I won't go on that point. So more my second and last thing to talk about. One, I want to go into that a little more. As far as what do you think is a solution that Fort Worth? Because I mean, people need to hear this, and they need to get out there. I know we can say whatever you want to say out here. They need to get out their goddamn feelings for 5 fucking minutes and listen to some people trying to tell them something, and not just go say, oh, it's another artist saying something. Again, like you said, you've been around, exposed a lot of stuff. I've dealt with doing stuff with Island Def Jam, digital projects. I've dealt with that. And so, yeah, like you say, you know about what it takes. In order for you to get big, you have to, it's about establishing something different. And if Fort Worth sound is going to be defined as, okay, let's do what else is hot. I want somebody, like you said, no one sounds, like I can pick, like you can throw, throw me any artist that somebody says extra, extra hot in Fort Worth, and I guarantee I can pick somebody that was already hot in the industry they sound like.
No, that's a fact. That is a fact. And that's an unfortunate fact. But it's a fact, nonetheless.
Because everybody, you know, rapper, everybody is now, it's like Fort Worth, the Fort Worth sound for like the past year and little running a little bit into this year was, let's rap exactly like Salsa, like the Sauce Twins or whatnot. I'm like, I hear them like, that's the Sauce Twins on flow level and whatnot. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. Like, if you're going to be with Fort Worth, let's develop a sound and not trying to say, oh, let's sound like the Sauce Twins. And it's a bunch of it's a bunch of saucy behind people out here. Y'all sound like the Sauce Twins, and don't get me started on starting naming names. Y'all know who the people are, and some of the people that y'all worship every guy named day, and you know who they are. It's self-explanatory. And if you want to be, and if you want to be messy and come ask me who they are, I would gladly tell you, and you can go run and tell that. But y'all know I don't give a damn.
You know what's funny? Before I got on this phone call, I was sitting at the table and I was talking to some beautiful people, and I was telling them, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Catastrophe actually pioneered the new age of Fort Worth. Like when we came out in 2013, everyone was dead. Like the Fort Worth music scene was literally dead. It was nobody that was just super hot. You know what I'm saying? It was a couple of people that had their little run and they were fizzling down or either all the way dead. But it was nobody that was just like, you know, that's the Fort Worth sound. You know what I'm saying? And we came out and we were original. We are original. And that's what took us to the level that we're at now. And we are nowhere near where we want to be. I guarantee you 95% of, and I'm not bragging, but I guarantee you 95% of artists in any city, major or independently local, however you want to define their career, would kill or lose a leg to be in the position that we're in. You know, we have distribution, free reign distribution with Universal, Thump Universal. Like, I can put out whatever I want to, whenever I want to, however I want to. If you decided that you wanted to be an artist tomorrow and you were hot and I wanted to take a chance on you, I could do that. Like, I am in the same position as Baby from Cash Money, Master P, you know, the greats in the game, Jay-Z at his time. I'm in the position to do that in today's time. But it wasn't that it just came to me. It's that I worked for it. Like, y'all haven't heard nothing from me in 2-3 years, literally 3 years. But during those 3 years, we have still done the administrative work, and we've toured, and we've grown, and we've made connections. Like, people don't take relationships to the next level. They don't value themselves enough to understand that it's not about you. It's not about how big you think you are, how hot you think you are. Because I guarantee, like I said, 95% of the artists were not as hot as I was or we were when we dropped Polo, 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 especially the remix. Like, that was one of the biggest singles in the country at that time, especially from here. Like, the numbers can't be denied. We were, what? I can't remember the numbers, but at one point I think our highest peak was 36 on the urban charts. Now, of course, there have been bigger numbers than that, but during that time, and what did the people do with it after that? they were bigger than us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it hasn't been done. So some of the stuff that we've done and been able to accomplish and make happen, like, people don't understand that it takes hard work and dedication and resilience. Like, nothing happens overnight, first of all. And even more in depth in that, like, you have to literally sacrifice. So when your baby mama crying about you not being at home, are you going to actually go home? Are you going to, you know, stay on the road and do what it takes to finish the job? You know what I'm saying? It's little things like that. When your mom says she's sick or she's in the hospital, are you going to go back home to go to the hospital and visit her? Or are you going to finish the job? A lot of people can't. And not, I take that word back because I don't like to use the word can't. A lot of people don't. They choose not to make the decision that elevates them career-wise. They choose other things outside of that. And I'm not faulting anyone. I'm not blaming anyone. But you can't blame anyone because you made those decisions for yourself. And don't be mad at me because I made other decisions.
You know what? I can honestly say I can co-sign it because I was hoping, you know, like, for instance, when people's friends die or with family members die, whatever, they completely shut down, and then all their career just goes on a screeching halt. Like, there was something that I know is, like, it's kind of crazy, but from Sister Act 2, like, this quote has instilled in me since I ever heard that when I was little. And she said, on Sister Act 2, she was telling Lauryn Hill's character, she said, when you wake up in the morning, what do you think about? Singing. Well, that's what you need to be doing. If all you think of, what you think about every morning you wake up, if that's what you're thinking about, that's what you need to be doing and pursuing, and no matter what. No matter what obstacles, whatever, you need to be pursuing it and stop making excuses that why you can't do it. Well, my friend died. My goldfish died. I'm too tired.
Yeah,
well, guess
yeah.
what? People get, like, what's going to separate? You know, a lot of people don't realize that they want to be all these big moguls or whatnot, but they can't even handle some of the stuff that comes with it.
You can't be rejected all the time. You're worried about your mama being sick. You can't
exactly.
do that because mama, somebody going to always be sick. Somebody going to always be hurt. Mama going to be, you know, feeling bad. Kids going to have a bad day at school. Like, we all got those problems. Bills are going to come up. We all going to need to pay them. You know, you can't be a mogul if you let that become your excuse. That's the difference. We don't have excuses. I don't have no excuse. And I guarantee you, again, I use this word in general. Y'all ladies looking good. Good Lord, y'all looking good. I use this word again. 95% of, you know, people that claim they want to be artists haven't struggled like I have. They haven't done the things that I have. They haven't experienced the things that I've experienced. You know, of course you won't hear my struggle from Polo, 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 or There She Go, but, you know, those were songs to catch your attention. So, you know, just imagine what I have to talk about now. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, y'all probably saw me in the video. It may hit your mind like, oh, what happened to him? I was in a house fire when I was 3. I lost my entire family. You know, like, dead all in one night. My mother, my father, my sister, my brother. I have an older brother that survived, but it's, you know, it's just me and him that lived, that survived the fire. So, along with that and
and just life in general. Like, a lot of people haven't. How many of y'all can live without your mom? When you have a hard day, who do you call? You call your mom. Or your mom calls you and check up on you. I don't have that. I never had that. I heard people saying all the time that they can't live without their mama. You know?
Or they think it's even worse. I think is if you take it for, like, taking them for granted is even worse. I at least to my head, the people that respect the fact they hear, it's the ones that don't know that disrespectful.
You put it on the table.
And they holler, ah, I don't like my mom. She, you know, my mom always do this, my dad always do that. But you know what? Some people don't got the luxury of, they wish they freaking mom and dad getting their goddamn nerves. Hey, you want to complain because they on your nerves for one day. So, yeah. A lot of people don't be getting that.
Bro.
Oh, no, I was done. I was throwing it back to you.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah,
I'm just saying that a lot of people don't realize that that like people like take it for granted by having their parents too. I think that's worse. Like you got your parents,
that's true.
But you always want to complain about that you can't stand them. They get on your nerves. Well, at least you got parents to get on your damn nerves.
Ah, oh, man, come on, like. Exactly. I hear.
And it always be some stupid reasons why my mom got nerve to get mad at me because tell me I keep talking to I need to quit talking to certain type of dudes. But then but then it's funny, your mom tell you that and then like months later you complain on Facebook these dudes ain't nothing. And I'm gonna say this
exactly.
This is my last one, mate, before I throw that to you. I would say this for the last time. Y'all keep saying that it's not any good. And this goes for both. This goes for men and women. Y'all keep running around here saying it's not any good. Women's not any good. Men out here. But last time I checked, a lot of y'all, it's not that it's any good men to good women. Y'all pickers suck. Y'all suck at picking people. And what y'all do is y'all pick is the person might look different, but y'all copy and paste that same person you just talked to and put them inside another, and then you end up dating them same characteristics, and you wonder why you're getting the same results.
Or not only that, like, all we know is what we see. So we'll a lot of them will pick what their mom or, you know, what they saw from their parents. Whether it may not be their father, because a lot of them may not have had a father around, but it'll be, you know, a father figure that they had in their life. It may be their grandfather. It may be their stepfather. You know, whatever father figure that they had in their life, that's the type of man that they pick. And you know what? I'm gonna get on something that's completely different. So the problem is, and this may ruffle a few feathers, but you know what? I really don't give a fuck because it's really shit. That most of y'all have ever heard. The problem is y'all spend too much time believing in a fictional character that
they gonna get mad.
Was perfect.
A
lot of
people
y'all
know how I feel about that now.
Let me keep going. They like, what is he talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus wasn't a real man, blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's agree that he was. We'll leave it at that. Jesus was a real man.
He is. He worked at the tire changing place at the street.
Hey, Sluice. But the man that y'all praise on Sunday, this nigga was a perfect man. So you mean to tell me that he brought a man from the dead? This nigga was dead, Lazarus. And a lot of y'all don't know this because you ain't read your Bible. If the pastor ain't talked about it on Sunday, well, Jesus brought a man named Lazarus back from the dead. He was dead. And his Lazarus' sister came to Jesus. Oh, help me, help me, help me. He brought Lazarus back to life. You mean to tell me that his sister or any woman that seen that or saw that or heard of that story didn't drop her panties for him or get on her knees, I don't fucking believe it. And you got to be an idiot or not just an idiot, but I'm not going to even offend anyone. You have to be completely ignorant to believe that this man who brought another human being back to life was not traveling the world and having sex with women. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Either that or he was gay. This nigga just brought somebody back to life. Like, all of the miracles that he did, it's impossible for anyone to do all of these miracles. I know what I do. You know what I'm saying? I know what I was like on tour, and I wasn't just wild, but I'm like, you know, and I wasn't just out there chasing nothing, but I'm on tour. Like, it comes. You know what I'm saying? I was just on stage. I killed the stage. How you not going to see me on stage and not be attracted to me? How you not going to follow my Instagram or my Facebook and not find something that you like? Like, it just don't make sense. We're talking about Jesus, this man that was made to be created as perfect. Y'all expect for, you know, every man that you come encounter with to not have flaws. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. So no man will ever the greatness of Jesus, because Jesus, I'm not going to say Jesus was fictional, but the Jesus that y'all know of, the Jesus that the King James Version Bible speaks of, and man, that's made up. Like, we got to be honest and real with ourselves. And that this is solely my opinion. Like I said, I'm sure this will ruffle a few feathers. Whoever hears it, whatever. You got to be real.
You know,
that's,
you know, my problem's always been, I like when people do this, oh, God already taking care of it. He going to fix it. I don't like that.
No.
Like, what pisses me off about that is, like, the same people who supposedly read the Bible, one of the biggest things in there says, faith without works is dead. But a lot of people want to just, oh, let's sit around and God going to fix it. It's going to take your ass. To, you know, some people, oh, I rub some feathers. If you don't like you talking about God and having cussing at the same time, but you know what? Somebody got to talk to y'all. Like, it just pisses me off that people continually are so content with just waiting for God to magically make things happen. No. Not because y'all know how, a lot of people know how I feel. I don't believe in the Jesus story, but I believe there's God out there. And I think that I don't think the way people make him seem like he's this magical fairy. I more so feel this way. He gave us gifts to use. We need to use them and stop work. He didn't like say, okay, now, every time you need something to do and you can't figure out one of them, like, put some magic dust on your problem and fix it. No, he gave you the goddamn tools and the people around you the freaking tools to help fix your problem. The underlying source of why y'all having problems is y'all too afraid to, like you said, something about networking. That really, that's what it's all about. Faith without works is dead. That whole mind state is about networking. If you can't walk around and network with people, other artists that's out there, people, other people in the industry, whatever, nothing's going to happen if you just sit around and wait for something to happen. This goes for artists, models, whatever. Stop sitting around waiting for somebody to come sign you. You do something about it.
It's never going to happen.
And you put in the goddamn work. And then what you do is, once you put the work out, you go, like you said earlier, just like y'all see how I be paying attention. Like you said earlier about how when you first put your music out, you wasn't really happy with where I was. And then you got to a point where you started saying, I like what I'm putting out now.
Yeah.
Same structure. People need to start realizing, okay, don't be content. Yeah, and all of a sudden people start, you know, patting you on the back. That's great. Thank you. Pat me on the back. Celebrate the moment. Keep it moving and progress. Don't get content. You need to improve your music, improve your modeling, whatever. Because the moment you get stagnant, somebody that's been sitting right there putting in work at a steady speed is just waiting for you to fuck up and drop off so they can come zoom right past your ass.
Exactly. Man, so, that's what I was saying. People think that they're special, and they're not. The only thing that makes you special is your work ethic and who you know. Everyone has talent. Like you said, God gave everyone gifts. Everyone has dreams. But, you know, where do you take it from there? Faith without works is dead. It's dead if you just go, oh, I'm the best. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm the greatest. No, you're not. What do your works? What are your numbers? What are you doing for yourself? And that's where a lot of people fall off, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. There's a lot of people just running around quoting scriptures and not believing what they're saying. Like that get. I don't get how you go to church every week and y'all know how I feel. But y'all go every week and then y'all get out of church at 1:30 and you back to acting a goddamn fool by 3:00. So y'all need so. I don't get what y'all doing in there.
You hear what I said before I actually got started? I said, all right, well, a lot of y'all may not know this because y'all don't read it and y'all don't know it unless the preacher tell you this on Sunday. Like, I guarantee you that I hate to use numbers, but I say 1 out of 4 people, 25% of the people that are listening to this show didn't know that story about Lazarus. And you know, there may be a larger number percent of those people who are consider themselves to be Christian. Well, how are you so faithful and so believable in something, so steadfast in something that you have never researched, something that you have never read? You want to know where the statement comes from? If you want to hide something from a nigga, put it in the book. That's what it is. You want to hide something from a nigga, put it in a book. Book is the Bible. You put it in the Bible, they're not going to read it. Why? Because in the old days, black people weren't even allowed to read the English text. And the people that were, when they found a large majority of them, when people found out that the white people found out that they were able to read, they were killed. So, yeah.
Yeah, because you know why? That's one of the most racist books. Man, you really dig deep in there. It's one of the most racist books ever.
Come on, man. King James was a Scottish man. A lot of people don't know that. King James was a man from Scotland. And when he came into power, he needed to assert his power. So what other way to assert your power than to tell people that you're going to go to a place of fire and brimstone, of a bottomless pit forever? We talking about eternity forever. How else could you make people believe what you saying than to tell them something like that? Hey, if you rise up against me, you're going to go to a place of fire and brimstone and you're going to fall for eternity and burn. Come on, man. People gonna believe that, don't quote me on this word, don't misquote me on this word, but I believe it was something close to when he became king, he brought together 54 scholars. Again, don't quote me on that word. I know for a fact it was something in the 50s. It wasn't in the 40s. It wasn't in the 60s. I want to say 54. He brought together 54 scholars of that time, which were considered to be the smartest, most spiritual men of that time. He brought them together, and they split apart in numbers of, I want to say, 6. And it took them roughly 6 to 7 years to break down how they were going to control the population. And that's what the fuck they did. It's pure genius. It's an evil genius, but it's genius. Nonetheless.
Oh, you were dead on. You should have stuck with 50.
Hey, man.
50 was dead on.
Come on, man. I know how I do.
I'm in the show. I'm a nerd, so I fact check on some of this stuff. And even, hey, what am I looking at? The number's right there, right in front of me.
It's, it's more than music with Catastrophe, man. You know, I'm a real deep spiritual person, so you know, I grew up a Southern Baptist. Obviously, I'm from the South. I'm from Fort Worth. You know, religion was pushed on me. It wasn't just shoved down my throat like, you know, you're gonna go to church or you're gonna die or go to hell. But you know, it was pretty aggressive, nonetheless. And you know, some of the things in there I believed, and some of the things in there I was like, hey, what's going on here? Like, I got questions. And then, you know, as us all, we'll hear things like, hey, don't you question that Bible. You know, like, yeah, we don't do
but,
that around
I mean,
here.
But what's the point in that? Like, you know, you can't, like, we do everything else we question. We question is LeBron legacy intact and all that. But
yeah,
as soon as
yeah,
we start talking
yeah,
about, yeah, is, we
yeah,
talk about the real stuff, people not nah, ready for that.
Nah, because you questioning faith. Because you questioning faith at that point. It ain't about nothing else. It's about faith. You're losing faith. You're ye of the little faiths, you know. That's what that's about. But, you know, that's all propaganda as well. But, hey, that's just, man, this is
I know.
My kind of stuff.
I'm fucking with people. We just, he was like, man, they getting deep on here. Yeah, this is what happens on the
yeah.
show. You don't know. Yeah. It's always it's an adventure on this show. And, like,
yeah.
I'm just going to say this way. People getting these tangents on these shows, or this show, because we don't have these rules where there's some, because some people, they, you know, they believe that that's how it happens on all these podcasts that are successful. They think that we got this little man whispering in our ear telling us what we can talk about, what not. No, sir, don't talk about that. The man gonna come get you. He gonna get you, start talking about that, sir. Don't do that.
Yes,
you tell the man gonna get you.
Boss man said, no. Master said, no. You know, I know what you said.
White people, they don't, because people don't realize, you know what's so funny? People, because people assume that, oh, well, it's only black people listening to the show, and then, yo, you don't want to upset your white audience. They going to get mad. Y'all realize how many people listen to the show and how many people are not just black. Y'all would be... Some of y'all got kind of, you know how the world works. But a lot of people realize that it's a diverse show. People, like, it's people who walk up to me in different races listen, walk up to me and talk about some of this stuff. So, yeah,
no,
I
know
that. I can keep complaining and, you know, and thinking that if I really talk about black issues, it's going to ruffle everybody. Not every person that's not black is ruffled by people talking. And we're not just talking about black issues. As you heard, we were talking about it's world issues, period.
Yeah. And you know what's funny?
Period. And that's the thing. I define a good interview by... What can the artist, when we're trying to stop talking, when we want to talk about something besides music, how intellectual is that artist? That's what blows me away
yeah.
in the interview.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Because
they're going to hear your music anyway. The point is shows for them to hear. Who are you? And for those of y'all don't get it, that's the key problem. Like, some of y'all have good music, but you don't have sense of self. And so when you go on these shows, you know, y'all think y'all want interviews, but then y'all whack as hell, y'all get these interviews because you don't really got a sense
got
of self when you get on there. Ain't got a damn thing to talk about. I think it's wrong. It's like one word, it's like one sentence, and then it's, oh,
yeah.
Man, come on, man. What's your English teacher to tell you? Elaborate.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. And that man, that killed me. That's how the man. Come on, now. That's the first thing they gonna
you
say.
You know what, man? We got 5 minutes of the show period for the British woman that get to my ear. I hate hearing her voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so so let everybody know what you got coming up, and let them know how on the show instead of saying follow you, we say stalk, because when you think of a stalker,
yeah,
they follow your every move. So they're not just following you; they actually follow your every move. When we say stalking on here, we mean like people who are following you, but they're actually supporting what you got going on. So,
yeah,
you know, first off, what do you have coming up? We need to be on the lookout for, and let people know how they can stalk you.
Well, first off, let me tell you, if there's anyone to stalk, I am definitely the one to do that. You should definitely stalk me. You can find me on Instagram. It'll be at VICTORYOFKATAZTROFEE. Again, I'll pronounce it out for you, sound it out for you. It's Victory of Catastrophe. VICTORYOFKATAZTROFEE. If you're on Facebook, which I spend majority of my time on Facebook, you want to go to my personal page, which I respond to everything. When you get a response from Eric Johnson, like, that's literally me. So that's kind of a big deal because I put my time into that. And I definitely, you know, I share my new music. I share all types of information, but I'm literally putting people on game. Like, you know, I wake up in the morning and I have an inspirational quote to get you started for the day. So you can find me on Facebook at ericjohnson. Again, that's Eric Johnson. And then you'll probably want to type in Eric Johnson Fort Worth or Eric Johnson Victory, just to get to me quicker. I don't know where everyone is from, but you'll definitely be able to find me from there. And once you click on the page, you'll see my profile page is of me and Mr. Arrogant. Our last single, which is titled Now. So it's both of us on there. But if you click on that page and scroll down, and man, you'll see a lot of inspirational stuff. You'll see a lot of self-motivational stuff. I really want to empower the people and get people to, first of all, believe in themselves, respect themselves, because there's no other way that you can respect anyone else. You got to believe in yourself first. You got to respect yourself. You got to love yourself first. And, you know, that's the tip I'm on. So that's how you find me, man. On Instagram, it's Victory of Catastrophe. On Facebook, it's Eric Johnson. Again, you might want to type in Fort Worth or Victory after that. And, of course, you can find us on Twitter at Catastrophe, KATAZTROFEE. It's pretty simple, man. Go look up our videos, you know. Get on YouTube, Catastrophe. Hey, I'm very stalk worthy. Stalkable.
Yeah. So, man, yes, it was definitely a pleasure doing the interview with you, man. You got to give him a round of applause.
I love that round of applause. That's genius.
Yeah, it's like sometimes, yeah, it's like it's just like smooth. It's like an ocean of hand claps.
Hey, man, and it makes me feel good, you know. Who doesn't like
people don't realize
it, every
dude, they don't realize that, like, how much of an impact. Like, I get excited when I hear them. Like,
nah, for real. Have you ever danced in front of your parents, you know, when all of the adults were around or something when you were little and everybody cheered you on? Like, it ain't a better feeling than a round of applause. Like, real
talk. That's still funny enough, that's still current day.
Yeah.
You know, you got me throwing a quick story on you. Like, every time, like, my homeboy T-Buck, every time we go out, you know, I'm known for, because everybody look at me, I'm dressed up, who's this preppy-looking dude, and tall, preppy-looking dude. All of a sudden, so I get a meal dance for people who know better, like, man, oh, man, he's from Great Killer, y'all. They're like, huh? And then, you know, my homie would say, said he made a circle. And I mean, and I just kill it out of nowhere. And
yeah.
Round of applause. All the, well, now is the new thing is people taking their phones out and, like, it's, I'm on everybody freaking Snapchat. That happened in Memphis, not this weekend, but the weekend before. Like, the DJ stopped the music and was like, well, hold on. Well, y'all got to wait real quick, man. Like, I'm not even from there, and I came and took over a day spot like this. So,
yeah,
I tell people, man, this is me. I'm not putting on no front. This is who I am. So, yeah, I had to make that quick story. So, yeah, you right, man. Them rounds of applause,
yeah,
just people loving you for being you is what, you know,
come on,
just
man.
Makes you just want to go harder.
Yes, sir, like, for real. I tell people all the time, man, there's no better feeling to me than being on stage and, like, rocking a crowd, especially a crowd that doesn't know me and doesn't know my music.
Yes.
Like, it's cool when, I mean, it's a wonderful feeling when everybody knows the music, but when people don't know the music and they still rocking with you, like, you can look in their face and see them smiling, or you can see that they're blown away, or you can see that they just moving the way that you move. They never moved like this before. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people that we see in the stands, they've never seen the type of moves that we have. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we from the South. Like, we've been all over the globe literally performing. And some of these people have never seen the type of moves that we do outside of a music video. You know what I'm saying? But to see it in real life and to see it in person, they're like, oh, and they implement these moves. So, man, I'm telling you, there's no greater feeling than that. It's just, to me, it's better than sex. I don't smoke weed. It's better than getting high. I don't do drugs. You know, it's like, it's
oh,
the best feeling
ever. Oh, don't
ever.
Say that, though. Don't say that. Well, you know, people start alienating you when you say you don't do that. he must think he's better than
Yes, I
yeah.
do. Yes, I
hate,
do.
Yeah.
I do. I think
I dealt with that this weekend. It, most of the, pretty much 95% of the people were smoking, and they were like, oh, man, you don't. Nah, I'm good, man. I'm still going to have a good time, I promise you.
Yeah. I'm not bougie. I'm high off life. Like, I think that I'm better than I was yesterday. I woke up today. I got a new chance. I don't think I'm better than you. I think that I'm better than me. Now, if you feel that I'm better than you, then that's your fault. Because that never, I never gave you that energy. I don't come off like that. You know, I exude who I am. And that's all that matters to me. Like, anything outside of that, that's on you. I never tone myself down or dim my shine just to make someone else feel bright. Like, that doesn't, you know, that's not the way I get down. If the way that I am makes you feel uncomfortable, then you got to check yourself. That's not me. Because if you have a conversation with me, we going to chop it up if I got the time. You know, now, if I got to move around, you can't be mad at me, you know. But, come on, man, I'm human. The only thing different about me is I didn't quit. I kept going on my dream. There's nothing special about me at all. And I tell people that all the time. Stop feeling like you're special, because you're not. Everyone has talent. Everyone has dreams. God speaks to everyone. He does, if we can agree that God is a he. My daughter got me tripping out. You know, why does God have to be he? And he doesn't. God can be a she. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't going to hold you, man. You know, I know you got to. I can go on forever, like I said, but that's where I'm at with it, man. Like, just be you, you know. Be yourself.
That being official, I got two more things to tell y'all before we end the show. One, I must quote something from a philosopher, from a purple or green philosopher. He once said, "You are special. Everyone is special. Everyone
yeah.
in his or her own way. That was from the great philosopher known as Barney the Dinosaur. Y'all see how I deliver that perfectly? Y'all, man, that's deep. Then, oh, it's Barney. Okay. And then, see, y'all know how I remind y'all how y'all can listen to the show. A couple different ways. So whenever the show's off and it's no longer live, it goes on Blog Talk. blogtalkradio.com/SettyJ It's also on iTunes for free. You type in Dust Spot Radio Network. Look for today's episode. It will allow you to listen to it for free on there. It'll allow you to listen to it on the TuneIn Radio app, on the Stitcher Radio app. So, yeah, like, yeah, we're in all the major podcasting apps as you can think of, you can find us. And if we're not on the air, let me know. We're going to go do something about making sure we're on that too. So, we don't play it at all over here. But, again, man, it's a pleasure having you. And I'm going to end the show how we tell everyone every show we end it. And that's to remind you in everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, remember, when there's a J or there's a U, there is a way. Y'all tune in to the episode of Life of the Dust Live. Your boy, Seti J. Shout out again to our special guest that came through us today, my boy Victory. Shout out to him. Thank you. Continue to empower people, man, around the world, and continue to be you. Yeah, that's what we need. In order for people to see, people need to see, is our right to be yourself.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Seti, for real. Again, y'all stalk catastrophe. I'm going to have to use that. Stalker. For real.
Oh, and let me also give one shout out. Shout out to Sade Renee for linking everything together. I'd be remiss if I don't do that. Y'all know I like to, when people link stuff together, I like to give them props. So shout out to Sade Renee for putting together, linking us two together to do this show. Definitely was much needed. Two people that make it, that's not, you know, that don't necessarily, it's not always in the forefront of Fort Worth, but making noise behind the scenes and just moving the shadows, doing their thing. So definitely
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, sir.
What makes someone great is when they are the greatest person that they can be. So a lot of oftentimes, like I'll give a short example. I went on tour with 2 Chainz back in 2014, and I wanted to empower my people, the people that were around me, my homeboys. So I said, you know what, you're going to do this job, you're going to do that job, you're the cameraman, you're the driver, you're the blah, 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 and we're going to get out here and we're going to get this money. And I realized that I was creating people. Now, at the same time, it's great to create people, but you have to understand that the people that you're creating, they have to be willing they have to want to be that, what you are creating. So long story short is you have to be the best that you can be. You know, you can't expect for someone to come and save you from your life, whatever your life is. And 9 times out of 10, it's really not that bad. But oftentimes we feel like it is. But if you're not ready for the moment, if you're not being the best that you can be, if you're not reading those books, if you're going to be a future cameraman and you don't know nothing about cameramen, or even if, you know, today someone says, hey, I want to take you with me, you're going to learn how to fish. And you don't go look up rods and reels, and you don't look up the best way to catch a catfish or the best way to catch a salmon. You know, whatever the case may be, if you're not digging into that and being the best that you can be, that's where you're going to fail. That's how you're going to lose. So to piggyback off what you were saying, Seti, people like Sade, like, she is instrumental in exactly what I'm saying, like being who you are.
She doesn't try to be something that she's not. She doesn't. She's never said, had a conversation with me and said, okay, well, I'm gonna be the biggest. I'm gonna be bigger than Beyonce. You know, why is that a necessity? Just be the best that you can be. If you're a great writer, be a great writer. If you're the plug, be the great plug. It's money to be made in everything. Be the best that you can be, and you'll never have to be jealous of anyone else. And that's, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned Sade, because she's a great woman. And, yes, she did plug us in, and I appreciate her for that. This is a great conversation, man. It actually made my night, man. So I appreciate you. I appreciate her. Real talk.
Oh, definitely. You know, and, yeah, like me and her, we go back. She knows me before there was a radio show. She watched me go through a class that led me to get into radio. So that's an ironic thing that she had in history that she, while I was at Witness.
Yeah.
So, yes.
That's big.
All right, y'all. That being said, we are rolling out. Peace. I got to hit some hand claps one time while I go. All right, now I can go. I didn't hear some more hand claps.
Catastrophe, catastrophe, catastrophe.